So you know that show that I did a few years ago called Upper Middle Bogan?
I loved Upper Middle Bogan.
How many series did we did? Three series.
Two or three, wasn't it?
Three, I think. So I was down the beach house, and the people that shot that, Wayne Hope and Robin Butler.
Great, talented. Wayne Hope, big Midnight Oil fan.
Yeah.
Last time I saw him was at a Midnight Oil gig.
Yeah, and did you both? Don't tell me you danced. Did you look at each other? Did you look at each other while you were dancing?
Nah, he came through the crowd. We were all right down the front at my music bowl. He came through the crowd with Brian Nankervis.
As you do.
Who, of course, I know Brian. And I was with my brother. And I'm like, hey, guys. And I said, oh, Wayne, of course, you're a big Midnight Oil fan. Because in one of his shows, I think it was Liberians, he had a Midnight Oil cover band.
Yeah.
Oils so, Ain't Oils.
Lived out his fantasy.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's the last time. But and Robin, I know Robin because she was involved in the Eric Banner sketch show and
Both great talent.
Anyway, they've made the Liberians, they made Upper Middle Bogan. Now they're doing a new show called Summer Love.
Yeah, Summer Love, set in a house down the coast, and it's not too far from our beach house.
Mm.
And so as I've been down there over the summer, well, they've been filming for weeks, I've been hoping that I would run across them.
Yeah.
Run across, and I, you know, and then their paths would cross. I don't want to ring up and go, I'm coming on set. I don't want to do that big fancy thing, you know.
No, but you know, we have heard the story, and we saw him the other day, Josh Thomas.
Oh, that's
when
true.
When we were having burgers.
Yes.
Josh Thomas was sitting there eating a very large burger.
No, it wasn't burger. It was a healthy sandwich.
It was a sandwich,
I noted
right.
that. It was a, yes. Yeah.
And he said, remember that time, I won't do his accent, but he's got a funny way of speak. Anyway, it was great to see him, and he said, remember that time when you...
Yeah, I did. They were filming down there.
Filming Please Like Me.
Yeah.
And you wandered
up. I just
up.
Happened to wander in around lunchtime, and they said, do you want a bit of lunch? And then they had good dessert.
And Josh Thomas said, yeah, I remember we gave you lunch on the beach.
And it was good. And, you know.
Hats off to you.
Yeah. And, you know, you go, well, it's a bit like at a big boxing match. Often other champions will step into the ring and lean over and shake the hands of the guys who are about to go into the... So I'm like the guy. I'm an actor. I know what you do. I know what you're going through.
If you were, say, a football legend and you walk along and saw a local club play, you could lean over the fence and go...
Yeah. I know what you're doing.
I'm Tony Shaw or whoever.
You know, and so you lean in. So you... And then the crew, you know the deal.
Often you know one of the crew.
You know one of the crew. And you know all the terminology. Anyway... So I've been driving around hoping, hasn't happened. I've seen
people filming.
Well, I've seen the unit,
the trucks.
The unit base, because that's different from where they're filming. Because you have a unit base.
We're learning things here, kids.
Where you have your lunch and you have your
makeup. Go film nearby.
Then they get in a little minivan and then they go onto the location and then come back there for lunch. So it's like a base camp one if you're climbing Mount Everest. Mm. Okay, so I walked past there a couple of times, sort of lingering. The base camp, the unit base, and nothing. And then the minibus drove past me. They waved. I'm going, well, come on.
Yeah.
And then, so it's been now about 3 weeks, nothing.
Nothing.
So then we were going for a walk down the beach yesterday with the grandchild, and there is a film unit. And I'm going,
On the beach.
Well, right in front of us.
Yeah.
And right filming on the track to the beach. I'm going, this makes sense.
Yeah.
At the beach, they're doing a bike scene.
Yeah.
And there's some kids on a bike, and it'd be something to do with them being on holiday. And I said to Selena, okay, I probably will mention something to one of the crew members and watch the doors open.
Yeah.
And
Selena, I hope you haven't eaten. Because
you are
three courses coming up.
Get
and that food
ready.
They have on film and TV sets is, they always have a hot dessert.
I'd hang around for the dessert. Anyway, so I walk up confidently and I get a nod from one of the crew.
Here we go. The old man, it's a guy.
And,
that bloke.
Yeah, there he is. There's this guy who was in that series with the thing and he's a real actor and la-di-da-da-da.
Yeah.
So then I go to him, is that Wayne around? Dropping the big one.
Yep.
Dropping the big one. He's the creator of the show. He's the man. He's the director. He's the writer. And the guy goes, no, mate, this is a chocolate milk ad. It was a chocolate milk ad.
Breaker. Big M.
Icebreaker.
Icebreaker.
He goes, this is an icebreaker ad. And I had to think, that's chocolate milk. And it all made sense because they were, you know, riding on their bikes and
having fun,
drinking chocolate milk and you know. So, yeah.
Did you hang around any longer?
No, I did. I sort of hung around. What sort of dolly you using on the tracking shot? You got a mobile? You got a, I thought you
Yeah, we used that on Kath and Kim, that one. That's right, mate. Yeah.
I've just come past the base unit up on top of the hill there and see your first EA was there just doing a few candid shots but then I did recognize someone.
Yeah, and where was your partner at this stage?
She wandered off.
Yeah, she wandered off, yeah, Paris.
She wandered down the hill.
Yeah, I'll see you later. I'll see you back at the house.
Okay, guys, all the best with hope you have a nice
Mate,
early...
you're in shot. Get out of the shot.
Nice early wrap time and...
action.
Should I go? I'll probably best if
I
go.
Yeah. Do you get any chocolate milk? That'll be good.
Well, you would think. You would think milk. While you're here, we've got a few icebreakers on the... Icebreaker is chocolate milk, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it different flavours?
No, I don't know. I assume, yeah, they'd have different flavours. There'd be coffee and stuff, the classics.
They're the big ones. And anyway, so we went and had a swim and came back. And then on the way back, I did run into some of the... I ran into the props guy that built the props for Ross McCoy.
Oh, there you go.
So he was doing the stunt riding and we had a chat and, you know.
And he'd like you. He'd know you.
Yeah, so I was validated as far as being an actor. I said, is Wayne around? Oh, no, they're in Lawn today. They're further down the coast.
I'll be seeing him. Don't worry, I've got more front than Meyer. I'll rock up if I see him. We'll talk oils.
Yeah, stand oils. There with your hands on your hips going, what's going on here?
Wait. Wait.
Dave O'Neill.
Wait.
Dave O'Neill.
Just from across the road. Wait.
Yeah. Speaks and specs. 64 times.
Wait.
Anyway.
Loved you in Very Small Business. Yeah, oh, that's very funny. We were in a park once in Fitzroy and this whole... a minibus pulled up and about 10 people got off and I said I recognised one of them but I'm like, I don't know where I know her from, and I said, is this a council inspection? They went, no, it's an Offspring location search. And then Penny, who did the art department.
Well, Penny was...
Was she down there?
She was down there too.
Yeah.
This is Penny, who I saw down the beach the other day.
She's done art for a long time. Art department.
She did do Kath and Kim.
She did Kath and Kim. Yeah,
and she was my link in to get a free lunch. And I don't think she told Wayne, because Wayne didn't text me. If he knows that I'm down there.
Come on, Penny. Penny's probably got a lot in her mind, though, running the art department for a major show.
Nothing worse than coming on set. You've got to be jovial with them, though. You know, you really, you've got so many things to think about. You don't want some old bloke wandering on, you know, dropping a few terms. You just don't want that.
No.
That's kind of what this podcast is really.
It is.
I've interrupted your... It is. I come into your life and you've got many things to do.
Not really. Anyway, here's the music, I believe.
Save me.
Hello and welcome to Somehow Related. Now, please welcome your hosts, Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Welcome to the podcast, and it's Somehow Related. And look, we've got to mention the Neely website. So Courtney, the producer, has set up neely.com.au. So if you want any more information about this show or about other shows like The Junkies, the one I do with Kitty, go to neely.com.au, Glenn, and have a look. Because they do deep dives on stuff. And Edwina has been doing some writing, who's a regular listener. She's a journo.
Writing about what?
This show. You should have a look. There's, you know,
really?
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff on there.
Well,
I started to write the genesis story of this show, but I started writing when I was in isolation, but I haven't finished it.
The genesis story? No. Are we that important? I forget people listen. And we were out to dinner last night with... Do you want to say who we were at dinner with?
Sure. It's just with the cast of Eric's sketch show from the 90s. We were all involved. So the director, Kevin's there, who we've mentioned on this show.
Yep.
Matt, one of the writers. Matt. Yuri, who did the music.
Yeah.
John Olb was one of the directors. Yep. Eric Banner, the star.
Hollywood.
And Stephen Curry.
Stephen Curry
in the show.
Who said he was, and I'm sure he'll hear this because he's a big listener of the, and he said he really enjoys it. I do forget people listen.
I forget too.
And I've had someone come out of the woodwork. One of my old school friends said, I heard you mention me. And I'm going, I say something inappropriate? Oh, no. So if I have said anything to anybody over the years of us doing this podcast, I apologize. I must remember people do listen.
Yeah, it's weird. And they often just know you. Well, particularly me, they know me just from this podcast. I did a gig in Sydney Tuesday night.
Really?
And I went into the green room and there were the band, you know, the cool band were in there. And I said, oh, sorry, guys, I left my book in here. And I pick up the book and the guy comes out and he goes, you're Dave O'Neill. You're on that podcast with Glenn. I'm like, yeah. And he goes, I recognize your voice.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. So hello to him. He was a nice bloke.
So nearly, you can go to the website and you can look things up. People have written things.
Deep dives on this show.
Yeah.
I had someone. There's photos of you.
Is there? I know someone. When I was in theatre sports.
Oh.
Is this boring? I'll tell you. Because it's interesting. Because someone wrote a book about theatre sports.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were in the national finals.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah. And that was the night. The night wasn't going very well. And I was in a game called Inner With a Wilder or something. I don't know what it was. But they had to take me off stage and put me in the toilet. And I had to work out who I was, what was wrong with me. And
right. Yeah, classic game.
Yeah. But they could only speak gibberish. So anyway, I'm urinating while they're preparing that on stage. I go to the toilet. And he leaves the toilet door open. Because the guy was with me, like a guard. You get guarded.
Okay, right.
And I hear... He's a reporter with suicidal tendencies.
Oh, God.
Or something like that, and he's got a limp. And it was pretty tragic, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, I thought, did I just hear what I heard? I think I just heard the whole thing.
Yeah, so you know.
I know. I go into the impro, and I just nail it. And it gets 10 out of 10. Yeah, and I cheated.
Yeah, you cheated.
Saying it, she goes on to write a book about what I did, saying it was one of the great impros in the history of improv. And I cheated. And she wrote up. So I'm worried about what these people might be writing about us, you know, doing this podcast. I wouldn't worry.
Well, let's get our topics. We've got to work out how they're related. What are they, Sam?
Priests and clowns.
Well, I mean, they're both, you know.
You ever been called
a clown? Yes.
At my meaning, it's a derogatory term.
Yes.
You're a clown.
Absolutely.
Put your indicator on, you clown.
There was a guy doing the paving across the road from me, and he was an older guy, and he goes, oh, g'day, mate, you're that bloody clown, aren't you? You're that clown. I said, no. And he goes, do you know Patches the Clown in Williamstown? I said, no, I'm not a clown. I said, I'm a comedian. He goes, yeah, you do funny stuff on stage and that. I went, yeah. He goes, yeah, you're a clown. I'm like, I'm not a clown. And he kept saying it. And he kept asking me if I knew, I think his name was Patches in Williamstown. I said, I don't know him. I don't know Patches the Clown.
So what do you got to have? You got to have big shoes.
Red nose.
Big pants that are a bit ill-fitting.
Yes.
Coloured. Big nose.
Little car.
Now, this
we're recording at the pub. I know people will be able to hear that. Actually, that might be. It's just the door shutting.
But we used to call this. What did we used to call this?
Our office.
Yeah, like we had a name called the Bang the Door, didn't we?
The Banging Door Cafe.
Yeah,
the Banging Door Cafe.
Because still they haven't. You know the thing on the top of the door that goes and makes it. They still haven't fixed it.
No, they haven't fixed it.
So it goes bang every time.
Yes.
So if you hear a bang, if you don't hear a bang anyway, that's right. Oh yeah. Clowns. So they have a horn. They have a horn, don't they?
Yeah.
And they can do magic tricks.
Oh, they do acrobatics. Acrobatics. They can do funny voices, tell jokes, but it's more physical, isn't it? Clowning.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. So you often sometimes see clowning. Where do you see them? You see them at kids' parties,
circus,
the circus, circus. Like
shopping centers.
We've talked about that before. How annoying it is that they don't speak bigger. They go wee oh oh wee oh.
Yeah, I haven't seen Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, but and they're a bit. You've seen someone. You know,
they're a bit annoying.
Well, they've got to fill time while they pull up the bloody trapeze thing.
Yes.
And they put the straps on. So they have somebody to fill some time. And look, or there'd be some classic clowns. There'd be people listening.
Mm.
Don't you know a clown?
Yeah, Denise Scott's husband, John, was a professional clown.
Was. What happened?
We can ring him and ask him, actually, because he's a good guy. You know John.
I know John, a lovely man. I shared a room, a house with him in Byron Bay.
Yes.
But maybe we'll ring him. We'll get to him. Have you got his number?
I've got John's number.
We'll ring him later.
We'll ring him later and talk to him about clowning.
Yeah. We should talk about it more before we get to it.
They're different from jesters, though, because the jester was used to talk and make fun. I think the clown was just a more physical presence in the court or whatever.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. So it was more of a juggling, pull your hanky out of a bit of magic and a bit of funny dancing or riding a funny coloured bike.
Yes, but they've been derided a lot lately because they also scare people, don't they?
Well, That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Clowns are scary.
In movies.
It, yeah. The clown down the...
Really scary.
Down the drain.
And it's... Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, I don't know whether... I don't get scared of clowns. I get scared of marionette puppets.
Oh, puppets.
Marionette puppets.
Well, what about that movie still with the ventriloquist doll runs down the corridor?
Karen Black was in that film.
Yeah, yeah, the evil...
I told you, I saw that little creature up close at Universal Studios. He was in a box and he was...
Scary?
I stood back. I'm going, it could break the glass. It could get out. What was that from? Trilogy of Terror.
Trilogy of Terror, very good.
Short stories about horror.
Yeah, I love that.
But so what are the big movie? Are there any other scary ones?
Well,
the Joker? Is he a clown?
Yes. Oh, that's a great movie. Yeah. But also, I mean, there's, Patch Adams. Have you seen those hospital clowns?
Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams. Have you seen those hospital clowns working?
No.
They're amazing. So, I mean, everyone hangs shits on clowns, but you see these guys, the banging door. You see these guys, there's someone delivering stuff. That's why I think you stopped now. You see them in action. I saw them in action at the Children's Hospital. They are fantastic.
Yeah.
And they bring a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And they kind of do a bit of traditional clowning, a bit more modern clowning. They're really good. Because you can go to clown school in France, Le Coq. There's some comics in Melbourne that have been to Le Coq, and the guy, this old guy, and what's his name? Ali G went. Sacha Baron Cohen went to clown school.
I'm not going to.
And he abuses you and stuff. And he goes, "You're not funny. You're not funny." And you stand up on stage. He goes, "Make me laugh. Make me laugh." And then, people are crying and stuff. And
he's a bit of a Lecoq himself.
Yeah, Lecoq. It's tough, clown school. But John, Denise Scott's husband, they met in clown school. So
she was doing a bit of clowning as well.
Yeah, yeah, she was a clown as well. Should we ring John? Let's ring him.
Let's ring him.
Let's ring the great man.
Yeah.
All right.
Hello.
Hello, is that John, Denise Scott's husband?
Husband? Oh, yes. De facto partner of 41 years.
We have to explain, we're actually doing our podcast and we've rung you, John, because, John, last time I saw you was in Byron Bay and we shared a house together.
Indeed. What a magnificent
I was right on the beach and I saw, and I remember seeing you, by the way, we're recording this, I remember seeing you walking down the beach holding hands with Denise, and I went, that is a beautiful relationship at sunset.
Well, if sunset at Byron Bay is not going to bring you together romantically, nothing will.
No, that's very true.
But now, John, we want to speak to you because did you meet Denise at clown school? Is that right?
Not exactly.
Right.
Like, Scotty, I'll call her Scotty because I always call her Scotty, always have, always will. Scotty and I met on day one, first day of work, at the Murray River Performing Group Clown Ensemble of 1981.
Well, that's clown school. That sounds like clown school to me.
Yeah. Well, no, it was learning on the job, all right? We were...
So you do acrobats and everything?
Nah, well, there were. I mean, this Mark Sheriffs was one of the co-founders of the Flying Fruit Fly Circus, and they started the Murray River Performing Group, and he decided to get this adult clown ensemble going. And he got Scotty and me and the late, great Linda Gibson and Peter Brown. Yeah. And none of us had ever actually formally studied clowning. I think all the others had done, Mark had done VCA, for example, and Peter Brown had been to NIDA, and Linda had done some kind of, acting classes in Sydney, and Scotty had been to Melbourne State College and done clowning and improvisation with David Lander and, But David Lander. I had just completely, I'd been studying medicine for 3 years, but just doing student theatre, and ended up getting a job with a travelling theatre troupe and learnt everything just on the job. So I never went to acting school ever.
No.
But when I got to Albury, I had done a little bit of what we call free clowning, whereas you put on a red nose or you might put on a bit of makeup and you just completely improvise. And, I just done that by kind of instinct, really. Anyway, when we got to Albury and we had this new clown ensemble, apart from the fact I fell in love with Scotty the moment I met her, that was pretty exciting. Apart from that, Mark decided we were going to do this play called School for Clowns, where he played the teacher, Professor Mole Reasons, and the rest, the four of us, were naughty clowns who were students in his classroom. This is actually a play.
Yeah, right.
It was very exciting, but after we did that play and we all did face makeup and we all, you know, did classic clown gags like being caught under a parachute and someone farted, you know, all that stuff. And we toured it to schools and did festivals and, you know, it was very exciting. But then we developed our own form of clowning. It was very sophisticated. We got into cabaret and theatre restaurants and again, free clowning in the street where we do this kind of act where we were supposedly this very famous 1930s cabaret act called the Crystal Dewdrops. And we would appear in the street with our arms aloft walking out to receive the thunderous applause in the middle of the street and proceed to do these crazy musical numbers all from the 30s.
Yeah.
And you know, play teapots and all sorts of other things, you know. So it was very funny, but we formed our own definition of clowning.
Clowning, so, yeah, right.
And
because there are people who go to clown school.
Yeah, I was talking, yeah, in
very
France.
Formal, and you get a certificate and you register your clown name, and there are all these kind of rules and traditions to be respected. Like if you've been to Lecoq or Grolier's school in France, for example, or even if you've studied in Melbourne with John Bolton at his drama school, you know, there are kind of, there's a tradition and things to follow, but I've done none of that.
So you're a bit more punk, you're a bit more punk rock sort of in the day, kind of.
I don't know about punk rock. Mm. I was trying to think about back in the day, I was fond of a little bit of a chuff, you know, a little bit of a smoke. and what I realized was that, for me, clowning without any drugs or alcohol was like being stoned. It was like
entering
voluntarily into a slightly altered reality.
Well, see, that's what I was going to say before. It actually gives you a license for mischief. It gives you a character to play. So, in other words, with stand-up, you just have to be yourself. Mm. But when you become the persona of a clown, you're up to something, and we're going on a journey with you. So it gives you something. It gives you a litany of lots of other clowns, and plus your own interpretation of that. So that's got to be fun because you are it's the clown not doing it. It's clown doing it, not you.
But then, you know, later in life, I've kind of blended the two, you know.
What, chuffing? Chuffing
so
and
sort of really pretty much is myself just being
yes,
clown.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But early on, I did go in for a red nose occasionally or a funny, colourful outfit, you know, polka dot braces and all bow tie, all that stuff. And I learned from a beautiful, very ancient Italian circus clown who I saw performing when we were up in Albury Wodonga, actually.
Wow.
You know, I kind of realised that for me, the trick was to just find everything amusing.
Yeah,
you know, like
right.
No matter what happened, it was like intensely absorbing and amusing. And so I just, that's why I say it was a bit like being stoned, because I just smiled and laughed a lot, you know, at myself and everything else going around. And that was a sort of like and I still do that kind of thing of like when I know when I enter into a sort of clown mode, I just find everything thoroughly intriguing and entertaining.
Yeah, it's childlike in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So I know Denise always talks about she's trying to throw out your clown props, but can you do all the click? So you can do stilts,
I can still do stilts,
Can you juggle? Yeah. You can juggle?
I can juggle, yes, and I can pop. I do a very specific form of juggling called plate turning, which I learned from the Nanjing acrobats.
This is the only
bit of formal training I had. So this plate turning thing is quite a unique Chinese traditional art where you use tin plates. So I do that. I can still do that. That's my...
Ukulele? You can do the ukulele, can't
you? Oh, the ukulele. Yeah. And never go anywhere without my ukulele. It's always within reach.
Well, John, we're trying to work out...
And the kazoo.
Oh, the kazoo is a classic clowning thing.
It is. So sometimes, for example, in a workshop in a school, I might just because I think it's going to amuse them and get them in, I might just put a kazoo in my mouth and talk to them through the kazoo. you know.
Oh, wow.
And they have to figure out what I'm saying and what I want them to do. And I'm just this guy talking to them with this distorted, crazy voice, you know. Well, so that's a form of clowning.
Of course.
Me, you know?
Well, we're trying to work out the connection between priests and clowns. You got any ideas?
Like, oh, geez.
It's a hard one, isn't it?
Priests and clowns. Yeah. Well, I don't think people really get into confessing to clowns. I don't really think. I think that's something that separates them. Priests and clowns. No. Wow. Okay. Priests also have a costume and a kind of mask.
True.
That collar, the dog collar, or even any sort of priestly garment. They're in character in a way when they're wearing that. Mm. That's all
I think you're right.
Is that there's
you're onto something.
An immediately recognizable, you know, there's a kind of a way to relate to a minister.
Maybe that's
or
it.
A clergy, you know.
Well, John, thanks for talking to us today. We've got an insight into the world of clowning.
Yes.
It's been fascinating.
I could talk for much longer, as you probably can.
Go put the costume on now and do some spinning plates and then juggle your balls and you'll have a happy afternoon.
I just want to finish on, you know, in the second year that we were living in Albury, Scotty and I did a duo cabaret act called Babs and Alvin, which were two of the characters from the Crystal Dewdrops. And I was her piano player. And so we were in character, but I got sacked.
Why?
Because I was always late for rehearsal.
Yeah. I think we know why.
And I wasn't really that good a piano player.
We were chuffing away.
It was great. The relationship between the characters was brilliant.
Fantastic. Oh, thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Great to speak to you.
I'll see you in Byron Bay, Glenn.
Yes, absolutely. Holding hands. Well, you and I will hold hands this time.
Yeah, we'll hook up with a Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
There we go.
There was one in Poltergeist. There was one in Saw.
So many clowns.
There's so many clowns. I mean, there's different ones. Anyway, look, you're right. Oh, I know what I wanted to talk about. Ronald McDonald. What's he?
Yes, he's a clown. A redhead clown.
He is.
And they did research and they found the kids were scared of him.
Bartholomew John.
Yes, he was. Yeah, from the Flying Doctors. He was the original Australian Ronald McDonald.
And
you're
have
right.
I told you my Bartholomew John anecdote?
No.
Well,
strap yourself in, kids.
I was in.
Were
a,
you playing
I was,
Hamburglar?
No, I was. I was in Skyways as an extra.
Oh wow! Is that what I'm thinking of? He was in Skyways.
He was in Skyways.
He played a pilot. Sure.
He played a pilot, and I was sitting next to a guy. No, the guy in front of me was in the scene, but I was an extra, so I sat behind the guy who Bartholomew John was, and. For the entire scene, Bartholomew John / Ronald McDonald had his ass pushed into my face because he was leaning over talking to the person in front of me. Not a great start to the industry.
You had Ronald McDonald's bottom in your
Ronald face. McDonald's, and I could see his Hamburglar. Oh, no, Hamburglar was somebody else, wasn't it? I could see his...
Yeah,
it was a little... Yeah.
Grimace.
Bozo?
Bozo the Clown, yes. Who's American Clown. And, of course, we had Zig and Zag.
Zig and Zag. And, of course, Krusty.
Krusty the Clown.
These are all the
clowns.
Was Krusty a drunk?
Yeah. It's the Simpsons one.
Yeah, because I didn't watch that much of it.
He was great. He was great, Krusty.
And Bozo was as big and...
He was. I think Krusty was modelled on Bozo, but Bozo was American.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You're a Bozo, mate.
You're a Bozo.
And Zig and Zag, tragic. Really.
Let's not talk about Zig. Yeah, not good.
No, I won't say that.
Mum made great Zig and Zag costumes that me and my brother wore to the kindergarten costume party, and we got third prize.
Did you have an ice cream cone on your head?
Yes. I should find the photo. There's a great photo of me and my brother.
Did she make an ice cream cone on your head?
She did an amazing job, Joyce, with costumes. Yeah, the Zig
your
and Zag.
Great. And how's your mum doing? She's
just came from the nursing home right then.
Jeez, you're a good son. You know what you should do? You should find that cone, put it on, and go visit your mum. Mum, remember this? Oh, my God.
Zig and Zag's here.
Zig and Zag's
here. Get out.
And there was one. So one had a pointy cone.
Yeah.
And one had a...
A bucket?
A
bucket?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And...
I can't remember who I was, but it was Zig and Zag.
And they had a tragic ending, I think everybody knows.
I've shown the photo in a comedy festival show, and people just pissed themselves laughing.
Of you?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that people are going to want to see it now. You've got to pull it out.
I've got to find it.
Yeah.
The Zig and Zag photo. I'll put that on the Nearly. I'll put it on our Facebook group and the Nearly site.
Okay.
Okay, so priest. Should we do priest?
Priest.
Well, I mean, my father-in-law was a minister, so that's an Anglican.
So what are all the different names for priests?
Well, Catholics are priests. Priest, yeah. Jewish are rabbis.
Yeah.
Imams, the Muslim.
You're good.
And the Anglican, like, uniting churches are, vicars, ministers.
Who's the famous one, the Melbourne one that we have that works with
Father Bob.
He's fantastic.
Yeah, he's great, Father Bob.
Just got the right words at the right time, you know.
Yeah, he's a lovely guy too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, when you think of famous priests, Father Bob, probably up there. I mean, vicars, it's a tough job, isn't it?
So, I get confused. So, I associate vicars living on site. I don't know why.
They do. They live in a house next to the church.
Good gig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not always there because Kieran, my partner's dad was a minister, Uniting Church, and they didn't always live. Oh, maybe they did. He became a teacher though. So, yeah. But I mean, it's a very demanding job. So poor Betty, Lindsay was my father-in-law, and Betty was the wife. She had to be the vicar's wife. And so every stray and random person would just turn up to her house and sit down for a cup of tea and a chat. And, that kind of social work aspect of being a priest.
Well, that's right, because I've got friends who live in another country, and they're quite his wife is quite religious, and they're going to the local pastor for advice.
On your marriage too.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Because not all of them are celibate, are they?
No. So obviously, like, Kieran's mum and dad, the Anglicans aren't celibate, but the Catholic ones are.
Because that was a great storyline in Fleabag where she fell in love with him.
It was such
a great idea that he could not.
He was Catholic, I think.
Yeah, so therefore he couldn't have. He was married to.
They're married to God.
They're married to God.
That's right. Imagine being that. Imagine being married. I mean, it's a weird job, isn't it, being a priest?
Yeah. Well, look, you know what? You're delivering, if it's working for you, if you love it, if you're barracking for that team, it's working for you because you're telling stories that give you comfort about the unanswerable. And it's all backed up by a bloke called God.
God. It gives people comfort. As my dad said once, I like the community of church. I don't know about all that God rubbish.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Get together. Because you got to remember what a church is. It was a beautiful building, usually in the best
part of town.
The town, with beautiful LED light and everything.
Yeah.
And, and you'd sit around and you'd hear a story. Good. And then you'd sing a song.
Yeah, bit of wine.
And then the plate would come around and you would put some money in.
Or what we used to do, we used to bang the bottom of the plate to pretend that we put money in.
And you could do now. I used to do because I did.
Were you an altar boy? An altar boy?
Why would you think I was an altar boy?
So you got that look to you. I don't know.
I went to. I had to. What is it when you do communion? You have to be.
You have to go
to Sunday school and learn the rules.
Which I hated doing.
That meant I could go up and drink the blood.
Take communion.
Eat the bread.
Yeah.
Wasn't nice.
Yeah, no.
And
drink the blood of Christ.
I was at Bert's funeral.
Mm.
And I was...
He was a dedicated Catholic.
I was surprised that when they do the number one prayer? Top of the Pops.
Yeah, that one. Yep. The Lord's Prayer.
Lord's Prayer. I looked around thinking that who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. A lot of people are singing the song.
I knew it. They know it.
They know all the words.
Who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name.
And then,
it was a pop hit in the 70s for Mary. What was the name of the woman who sang that song? It was a nun. Anyway, whatever. Yeah, she died recently. Priest, it's a weird job. It's a weird job. And you know what? The majority of them do a great job.
And it's male-orientated.
Yeah. So what's happened now, though, in Anglican and stuff, there's female priests, female vicars.
Because... We won't go into how they're formed from grace. We don't want to even talk about that. We don't want to talk about that. But has because the reverse collar.
Yeah.
You know, when they used to get onto about public transport or anything like that, it was like, he's a priest.
Behave yourself.
Yeah.
Behave yourself.
Yeah, because the God turned up. Is not, he's got...
God is watching.
He's got a red phone that he can ring God and go, oh, I've got a couple of people. Maybe you should strike them down.
So
you did nothing bad about the priest.
No.
But now, unfortunately, What's the image of a priest wandering around with a backward cola?
Yeah, I know. It's not. It's been tainted. Put it that way. And it's tainted. And it's tainted the good priests, unfortunately, and the good vicars.
Yeah, because
the majority of them would do a great job,
and still would. Yeah. We were talking about it last night because, and I don't want to open this can of worms, but we were saying that often it gives you something to a religion, gives you a story, gives you something to attach to, and whereas nowadays you don't. There's not many places you can find comfort.
Yeah.
People find comfort in Facebook, or they find
in the internet.
In the internet.
Conspiracy theories.
A conspiracy can be the same thing as
religion.
No, I don't want to. Hang on. I've gone too far.
It's true, though. It's true. Like, we were talking about the anti-vaxxers, and it's like a cult. It's like
you
a
join
religion.
A team. You join a team, and they're going to.
Like-minded people.
I'm not listening to them. Somehow related again, if that's what you believe. Whatever.
See you later.
Yep. but, you know, there's a part in our system that needs something to attach to. It needs a story. And once it has a story, it loves to tell the story.
Exactly. And like, it explains stuff.
Yeah, God works in strange ways.
Yeah.
Vaccination isn't real. It's a story.
It's not a story.
But priests, okay. When would they? Would there be a day one? Was there a time when priests didn't exist?
Yeah, of course there was. Of course there was. So who was the first priest? We should have some thinking music. Maybe we should do a make believe because we haven't done one for a while.
But you're not suggesting that.
Well, I reckon we should do God asking someone to be the first priest. Because that is a weird...
That's a great idea.
It's a weird... Well, do you want me to... I'll be God.
I'll be an average guy. I'm Mr. Average.
Because
when I used to do ads, I was always cast as...
Mr. Average?
I was Mr. Average. So I reckon they would go... They wouldn't go for a Trump or they'd go for a Mr. Average.
Yeah.
So am I meeting you physically or you're a
no,
voice? You come from the clouds.
Comes from heaven.
And right. I'm sitting there. Where am I?
You're on the couch in your undies, I reckon.
So, okay,
all right,
okay,
here we go. We need that.
Oh, geez, this is good. Oh, that bit is really itchy. If I just scratch that.
Hello there, you.
Oh, hang on.
This is the voice of God.
Who?
God, I am the almighty, powerful being. I am looking at you on the couch in your undies.
Have I met you down the pub?
No, I am God. I am a superior being. I'm in the clouds and I rule the world and I look at you in your undies. Don't worry, I've seen you in many compromising positions over the years.
So you're...
Remember that down the park in the bushes? The public pool? Not great. Anyway, I have a proposition for you.
Your voice is a bit annoying.
No, is it?
No, it's big. Well, holy.
Yes, well, I have to be big and bold because I am God.
I'm just looking out the window. I can't.
No, you can't see me. Do you want me to do a bit of lightning for you?
Yeah.
Thunder. I'll do some thunder.
Yep.
Do some thunder?
Yeah. Oh, holy.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So, you're God. You're the Almighty.
Yes.
You created all this.
I did. You like it?
I like all of it.
Mm.
I just reckon you might have messed up men's genitals.
Hey! Get your hand out of your pants, by the way.
I don't reckon they're a great design. Why put the balls on the outside? Put them inside. It's such an obvious thing
we
to do.
We need the balls on the outside because if they're inside, they get too hot and the sperm wouldn't reproduce. I don't want to get technical with you.
You've thought it through, haven't you?
Yeah. I had consultants. I had biological people.
Okay.
Anyway, I have a proposal for you, young man. I need you to be a priest.
A what?
It's a new job I'm creating to spread the word of God.
Of you?
Yes. And so all you have to do, you have to read a book called the Bible. It's a great book.
Taking yourself a bit seriously, aren't you?
It's a great book. There's many stories, like, you know, stories of Moses parting the Red Sea.
I heard that the other day.
Yeah, great story.
I know, some guy said it was true, and I'm going, come on.
No, absolutely true. So all you've got to do is read the book, and then we're going to build a thing called a church, which is like a hall, and you've got to stand up there, and you've got to tell the stories.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I'll get to that. He's the star of this book. He's my son. He's the star.
He's just making this up.
No. So if you look, I know you watch a lot of movies in your own opinion. So you watch Mission Impossible, Tom Cruise is the lead. Jesus Christ is the lead of the Bible. He's the star. So you'll be telling stories about Jesus Christ. And my son Jesus is a great guy. He hangs out with thieves and prostitutes. But you can't do that.
Okay.
No, so you've got to be celibate. Now, you've got to be celibate, and you've got to tell these stories, and we'll have some hymns, too, to break it up. We'll get an organ player for you.
It's really, really good.
You know, But you can get stuck into the red wine. That's fine. I can see you getting stuck in red wine.
I'm not.
But celibacy, and you stand up and you only work once a week on Sundays.
I'm in.
Okay. We'll see you on Sunday.
Rest of the week on the couch in my undies.
Yes, yeah, drinking red wine.
Drinking red wine.
No self, and you're celibate, but I've followed your romance. You've had no luck for the last 10 years, so delete your Tinder thing and get into the red wine, young man. You are now priest.
Number one.
Number one, go forth into the world. More thunder. Lightning. And if you do break the vow of celibacy, there will be a lightning crack on your backside from the Almighty God. All right, over and out.
Gee.
Wow, can you believe it?
Wow.
It was very funny.
God, he's...
Spoke very well.
Spoke well.
Yeah.
Got to be honest, you make a pretty good God.
God.
I mean...
Good Lord.
I think you should think about starting your own religion.
I could.
What would you call it?
Dave, the Dave religion.
No, I think I'm an O'Neillist.
I'm an O'Neillist.
Yeah, he's an O'Neillist.
Yeah, we've got certain things we follow. Now, do you want to have a guess? Priests and clowns. What is the connection between priests and clowns? I'm going to say that the first clown was a priest, maybe? I think the priest started doing a bit of clowning.
I'm going to say it was clowns were invented to, like at Sunday school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, to tell the stories with mime and magic and, you know, so they'd dress up. The priest would go at the back and change his clothes and come out with a red nose. And I don't know what I'm talking about, really.
All right, what is the answer, Sam?
In 2400 BC, in the ancient Egyptian courts, clowns served the same role as priests. Both roles were of importance to the culture, and the person performing them would interchange between the two.
There we go.
So I'm kind of right?
Yeah, kind
of. What did you say?
I said the first clown was a priest, but no, I think you're more right in that they did the same role. They did a bit of priesting, a bit of clowning.
You have been listening to Somehow Related with Glenn Robbins and Dave O'Neill.
Why don't they bring that back?
I know.
That's going to bring people back to the church.
Church would be much more interesting.
Because you could juggle the candles. You could the incense thing. You got to be doing 360s with that, like a yo-yo. You know, what else you got? You could put like the holy water in a water pistol.
Yeah.
This is great. You know?
It's a great idea. And there are some great priest jokes. I'm trying to think of a priest joke.
Oh, you must have one.
Oh, there's tons of priest jokes. Well, one that I could tell on this podcast. That one about, I remember Dave Allen used to do a lot of priest jokes.
Yeah.
And so they had the one where the guy goes into confession and says, "Forgive me, Father, I have sinned." He goes, "What have you done?" He said, "I saw a drunken homeless man lying on the street and I kicked him and stole his wallet." And the priest goes, "That was me." Classic.